Hit it, Phil.
Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume? Oh, no. It isn't the breeze. It's Jackson time.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. I'm joined by Terry Phillips from Imagine Air Theater, and he has a sign up, of course. And we have John Henderson, who's over there on This Day in Jack Benny, doing a great job on his podcast. And we have Catherine Fuller-Seeley, who's written a couple books on Jack Benny, wonderful books that you should check out. You can get them on Amazon. And I'm Buck Benny, as I said. So let's go with an episode of the Jack Benny Show. We're doing the first episode where Raymond Burr appears on the Jack Benny Show. I think he does two episodes. And this first one, of course, they're going to take on his famous role as Perry Mason in this series. And it's a fun piece. I love this episode. Watching it last night again, I'd forgotten how good it was. Anyway, what are our takes on it and things? Let's start with John and get his take on what did you think about it, and was there anything you wanted to share?
Well, I love that Raymond Burr appears as Perry Mason and only as Perry Mason. It's sort of a in-universe crossover thing. I thought that was great. And like, you know, his bit being Perry Mason and his entrance, which I won't spoil it, but it was hilarious. I love all of that. Yep. And I just watched an episode of Perry Mason to sort of get in the mood the night before last. And I love like his acting as Perry Mason and his dramatic style and things like that. And you can see him sort of playing off of that in this one. I have to say, though, an hour long show, you know, from the 50s, I did fall asleep in it, literally, but that could say more about me than about the show itself.
Yeah, the pacing back then was a lot different, wasn't it?
Yeah. And Frank Nelson in this episode and the reveal of him as well is a classic. And I love that too.
Yes. Yes. So did I. This episode, I've decided we're going to spoil it a little bit more than we usually do. Sorry, gang. If you want to listen to the episode and come back here, you can. But it's just parts of it just we need to talk about a little bit, I think. Because especially with Frank Nelson's piece, what works so beautifully is he's such a good actor. You forget how good of an actor he is. And so you're expecting him to do the whole yes and the whole thing, and he doesn't go there at all. It's the joke about it that Jack mentions during the episode is like, what's going on? He's a good attorney or whatever. He's a good lawyer. and he really was. And you realized at that moment when they were doing it, it was like, wow, he could have appeared on the Perry Mason show as the opposing lawyer, and he would have done a great job. I mean, the interviews with him that I've heard, he was not delighted at the fact that he got typecast in comedy roles, and so often people were asking him to do the yes man piece. He did say that he wouldn't do it without Jack's permission. He'd always tell him, well, that's fine, I'll do the yes guy, but you need to talk to Jack and make sure it's okay with Jack, and if you get the okay, then I'll do it. And he had at least once where he had someone say, oh yeah, I got Jack's permission, and they didn't get Jack's permission, and he was livid at that director or producer, whoever that was, that told him that. But yeah, he felt like he could do so much more, and of course he could. And what's neat, this episode kind of proves that. Kathy, what did you think?
Well, you're right. I wasn't expecting that. And when Frank, you know, is talking to the jury, and I was like, oh my heavens, I just jumped out of my seat. I thought, I don't know that much about Raymond Burr's other roles other than Ironside, that my mother watched a lot when I was a little kid, but I found he was a delightful comedian, and he looked to be having a wonderful time playing off his, you know, parodying his Perry Mason character. I thought that was wonderful. The episode, I would love to connect that to the Thanksgiving turkey episodes that Jack did on the radio, and the time he had the dream that he was being held, you know, prosecuted for murdering turkeys and things yes. like that.
Yes.
Because in that episode, the turkeys gobble a lot. And I was, you know, that's so mm-hmm. I appreciated the rooster at the beginning of this television episode. But just as we were talking in another podcast about the genius of oral comedy, I am in that radio thing, I imagine turkeys all over the place. And here, of course, it's difficult to wrangle a live chicken rooster so that we couldn't have an actual bird or have Mel Blanc be that, you know, shucks. There's, to me, something television couldn't do as well as radio to make that rooster more of an actual character in the show, which I, you know, just thought it might be fun.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. Terry, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I couldn't help but do some research about the other actors in this episode. We obviously all were focusing on the leads, but I looked at the list of performers who had the supporting roles in this episode, and interestingly enough, almost every single one of them had done episodes of Perry Mason. Including the court clerk, Georgie Stone, who did like 40 episodes. He was in almost every episode of the Perry Mason television series. But the reporter, the process server, several of the jurors, the bailiff, one of the spectators. I mean, they all, it's like they just came across the hall and plugged into this episode. Of course, they were both on CBS, so there wasn't a network problem. The ringer in the group was one of the jurors performed by Jack Burrell. And if that name sounds familiar, it's because he was Milton Burrell's brother.
Oh, okay.
And he had a career playing, you know, background actors on movies and TV shows. So I thought that was fascinating, that it looked authentic, because a lot of it was authentic to the Perry Mason show.
The judge also looked familiar.
Even
to me.
The judge, he's the judge
on the Beverly Hillbillies, or
well, what? Frank Wilcox was also a semi-regular on Perry Mason, but he did tons of TV. You're right, Ken. Yeah.
But marvelous. But what? How that means that back in the day when people saw this for the first time, they would have had double and triple the laughs.
That's of right.
Seeing, you know, they would catch that, and how marvelous.
Yes.
And do I remember correctly that they ad-libbed at a couple of spots in this episode, and maybe one of them, Jack went up at some point. Certainly Raymond Burr did. He started to giggle a little bit.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, they were definitely having fun with it, and I do think they did a little bit of ad-libbing or saying a line wrong and then just going with it, and yeah. That was great. I love the part where Raymond Burr pulls out the Lincoln hat and the Lincoln beard. Like, I've got him now. They're going to believe Lincoln. It's like, it was crazy. I mean, what
and Don Wilson's curly wig.
Yeah. The wig was so great. It was the best character on the show. It was great. I thought, well, why doesn't he wear that wig all the time? I don't know.
And so this is 1961. You all will remember that when we talked about the very first, was it the first? Well, it was the traveling show, the one where they went to Italy, to Rome.
Yeah.
Where we, among other things, we noticed how imperfect, let's say, the camera work was.
Yes.
By contrast, they really had it down. I mean, this was like the best production of any television episode of that era.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and they took it seriously when they were doing the whole. They really wanted to look like it was the most sophisticated show on television, which was, of course, Perry Mason. I mean, Perry, it's such an interesting story about the Perry Mason show. It was like not only the first courtroom drama thing, but it was really the first hour-long sort of drama that was popular, that lasted as long as it did. I mean, it was an amazing trailblazer. And when you think about 1950s television, you essentially get, it's Perry Mason, it's I Love Lucy, and maybe it's the Honeymooners, and then probably maybe the very beginnings of Twilight Zone. And those are the biggies that you see. And the rest of them, you know, aren't quite of the same caliber of those shows. Yes, Kathy.
Can I ask a question? Was Perry Mason ever on radio?
Yeah, he was on radio for many years.
So it had been on radio before?
Yes, you know, that's... but played by a different actor. And the concept of it was... it was quite different from the television show. Just like now there's a new Perry Mason on HBO or Showtime. I think it's HBO. That's been on this last year. And it's completely different feel to the original Perry Mason. It's more of a Perry Mason meets Columbo with kind of the rumpled sort of character more than...
Well, and in fairness, it's a prequel.
Yes.
It's before, you know, before he's Perry Mason.
Yeah, correct.
And we shouldn't leave out that Raymond Burr, of course, was a very accomplished radio actor before he became Perry Mason on TV.
A fabulous radio actor. We play his Fort Laramie, which is the Western that he was in. Beautiful show. We play that every week, and I just love all the episodes. The history on that show, that maybe Kathy would be interested in, is that it has, it's as far as I know, the first female writer that takes over the show. She doesn't, at the beginning, she does some of the episodes, but about halfway through, it's all her. From there on, every single episode is featuring, it's Kathleen Height, who's the writer. And she writes so well. I mean, when you're trying to stack up against like John Meston, who just an unbelievable writer for Western, who wrote a tremendous amount of the Gunsmoke scripts, and he wrote some of the Fort Laramies. But boy, whenever she's got a job to write, she can capture the grit that he has, but with more story complexity than he usually has. And so the mix is just really nice. So if you ever
was Raymond Burr the lead on that show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you yeah. I actually didn't know that he was in radio. I'd never run across any of his radio shows. The only other thing I knew Raymond Burr from was the American version of Godzilla.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, we happen to have Earl Stanley Gardner's papers at the University of Texas. And if the archives can ever open again, I would dearly love to go and see if he had, you know, because the Benny Show would have had to come and get permission from Gardner to use the show and the characters. And I'm just sort of wonder if he was happy to do it or if he put any restrictions on it or
right.
So Kathy, one of these days I will go find that out.
And Kathy, I should tell you, I spent a year in law school, part of my sordid past. I was a student at McGeorge Law School in Sacramento. And part of the thrill of being there was that we had some of the original Perry Mason scripts, which Raymond Burr had donated as part of his estate to our law school. And John, the other big role that I remember from Raymond Burr on radio was as the captain on Dragnet. He was a fairly regular performer on Dragnet. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a little late to radio. I mean, it was like, I want to say 48-ish when he came on sometime in that time frame, but in the 50s, he was sort of all over the place in radio. So a lot of different series and doing a lot of different work. Certainly they grabbed him for the heavy a lot on different shows, suspense and so forth. But yeah, some wonderful radio work he did. What I respect the heck out of him for is the fact that after he got Perry Mason, after he was doing Perry Mason, he said to the group that he worked with, he said, one, I will bring you guys over to my show as often as I can. And they did. Almost everybody that was in Fort Laramie was later in episodes of Perry Mason. Two, that I'm going to keep on trying to do radio. And for the first three or four seasons of the Perry Mason show, he would also do radio shows from time to time, suspense and so forth, which I would think most people, when they went to TV, they just abandoned radio entirely. Mm-hmm. Kathy, you were going to say something.
Oh, well, no, thank you very much for that, Daryl, because CBS still wanted to keep radio going. So it was CBS that begged Jack Benny to stay in radio. Even with declining audiences, he was still the number one show on Sunday nights. But also the amusing sidebar of Raymond Burr kept getting larger and larger and larger. And it reminds me of, I mean, the difficulties actors of size had on television that emphasized skinny little people. But him and William Conrad also, you know, I think of that they put him on Cannon, where he's shaped like a cannonball. And Raymond Burr then gets to play Ironside, where it really doesn't matter what size he is because he's right. rolling around to places. So,
Well, I think we'll leave it there. Enjoy the show, and we'll see you folks next time.
From Hollywood, the Jack Benny Program.
No, you listen to me. You're darn right I'm mad. This has been going on all night. I've had to get out of bed every 10 minutes.
Who is that?
Another one of those cranks complaining about my rooster. Hello, Birdie.
Boss, maybe the neighbors are right. You know, it's bad enough you're raising chickens in the backyard, but why did you have to buy that rooster?
Rochester, I lied to you.
You did?
I didn't buy that rooster.
No?
Yeah. Remember one night when you were away on your vacation? I came home one night kind of tired and hungry, and I went to the cupboard and I took out an egg. And as I sat there holding this leg in my hand, trying to decide whether to fry it or scramble it, I fell asleep. When I woke up, I was a mother.
There it goes again, Mama!
You know, Rochester, that rooster might make a lot of noise, but it's pretty smart. You remember the day the man from the Zoning Commission came by?
Mm-hmm.
That rooster flew up on the roof and made believe he was a weather vane. I'll get it. Hello? All right, so it woke you up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I know this is Beverly Hills, but, oh yeah? Come over here and say this, I'll punch you right in the nose. Little language from a woman.
Mr. Jack Benny?
Yes, sir.
Well, I have something for you.
What is it?
A summons.
A summons? What for?
For that weather vane. It didn't fool me.
Fine neighbors I've got in Beverly Hills. Summons. Well... just because my rooster makes a lot of noise, I gotta go and appear in court for disturbing the peace. Oh, well, I'll take care of this right away. Shut up and get off that roof! He's gone already! Stupid bird. The wind is coming from the east. He's facing north. I'm going to see my... oh, darn it, my lawyer went to New York. Well, there's another lawyer in that same building. I remember room 203. Willoughby, his name is. I'll go to see him, Willoughby. Rochester, I'm going into town. Mr. Willoughby?
Yeah.
You lawyer?
Yeah.
But every place I run into, you're either a waiter or a clerk or a floor walker. Now you're a lawyer?
Well, I try to better myself. Why don't you?
Look, I didn't come here to be insulted. Are you going to handle my case or not?
Well, that all depends. What's your trouble?
Well, here it is, right here. There.
Hmm. Yeah, I'll have to look this up. Well, it's a summon.
Well, of course it's a summons. It says so on top. What law school did you get your diploma from anyway?
Oh, I didn't go to law school. I watched Perry Mason. You know, he's never lost a case.
I know, I know.
Well, let's see what this summons says. Oh, there's no trouble here. I can get you out of this just like that.
Why? What are you going to do?
Well, we'll go into court and you'll plead insanity.
Insanity? But I'm not insane.
I know it and you know it, but we'll never get 12 jurors to agree on it.
Now, look, will you stop all of that nonsense? How are you going to get me out of this? Now, I have to know.
Well, it's very simple. I have lots of tricks. You don't have to worry. Now, when I go into court, I'll wear this. My notes off the back of an envelope.
You're not going to read your notes off of anything. And you're not going to handle my case either. I'm getting out of here. Yeah, I'm tired. Imagine having to go to court. Oh, shut up. The next time you do that, I'll wring your neck. Some rooster doesn't even know which way the wind is blowing. And that crazy lawyer I went to see. Yeah. If I have to go to court, I'll get the best lawyer in town, believe me. Should have killed that rooster a long time ago. I'm gonna get the best lawyer in town.
Order in the court. Order in the courtroom. What's the next case?
Case number 625, the state of California versus Jack Benny. Charge, murder.
Would you bring in the defendant, please?
Mr. Benny, do you have a statement for the press?
You're darn right I got a statement. I'm innocent. Hear that? And my lawyer is going to prove it. Believe me, I got the best lawyer in town.
The best lawyer?
You're darn right.
May I have your autograph, please?
I got a feeling I'm going to win this case.
Your Honor, before we proceed, I'd like a moment to confer with my client.
Oh, certainly, certainly.
Where is he?
Perry, here I am, right here. Number Perry.
Mr. Mason, I'm certainly glad you're going to defend me. Now, what is your line of strategy here?
Well, Jack, I've been giving the case a lot of thought. I've been mulling it over and mulling it over. And you know, something important suddenly occurred to me.
What's that?
You haven't paid me my retainer yet.
Oh, yes, yes. Now, let's see, you told me that would be $100 in advance, didn't you?
Yes.
There you are, sir.
Thank you, Jack. Of course, the rest of the fee depends on how long the trial continues.
Yes, thank you.
Remember, I get $1,000 a day.
Yikes! Stop the trial! Every
everybody, the jurors. Let's get started.
Order in the court. Mr. Benny. Young man. Order in the court. Mr. Benny. Order in the court.
You take your seat.
Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Jack. Jack, watch yourself. My reputation is at stake. This is the first time I ever defended the man charged with the murder of a rooster.
No, but I didn't do it, Harry. I didn't do it.
Order in the court. Now then, if there are no more interruptions, perhaps we could proceed with this trial. Is the prosecuting attorney in the courtroom?
He's the prosecuting attorney, that nut? We can't move.
Is the defense ready to proceed?
Ooh, are we?
Then if the prosecution is ready, we can proceed with this trial.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, as the witnesses proceed to the stand, we wish to remind you that our case is based not on rumor, not on hearsay, not on prejudice, but on sound rules of evidence. Never in the history of my courtroom experience have I ever seen such a clear-cut case of premeditated murder.
Harry, this crazy guy. Suddenly he's a brilliant attorney.
Why shouldn't he be? He learned everything he knows from watching me. Yeah, I know he told me. But I learned a few tricks from him, too.
Order in the court.
Take that off.
Furthermore, the prosecution will prove that on Wednesday last, this defendant did willfully, unlawfully, maliciously, with malice aforethought, murder a rooster. And we will demand the full penalty that the law allows, $25,000 or 10 years in jail.
For killing a rooster?
Objection, Your Honor.
Your Honor, my lawyer objects. He objects. My lawyer objects.
Go ahead, Mr. Mason. Yes, Your Honor. Your Honor, the prosecutor is in error when he states that the penalty for this offense is $25,000 or 10 years in jail. In point of fact, the penalty is life imprisonment or death in the gas chamber.
Well, objection sustained.
Harry, what are you doing to me?
Jack, just remember, it isn't important whether you win or lose. It's how you play the game.
What is this, a tennis match?
If it please the court, I should like to call my first witness.
Very well.
That attorney is crazy after all. Imagine bringing in Don Wilson to testify against me, my friend.
And now, sir, what is your name?
Herman Hocklefinger.
Hocklefinger? That's Don Wilson.
And what is your occupation?
I'm a jockey.
He's lying. He's my announcer.
That doesn't make sense, Jack. Why would you have a jockey for an announcer?
He's not a jockey. Look at the size of him. I tell you, that's Don Wilson. He's lying.
Jack, I just can't believe he's lying. But let's find out. Your Honor, may I interrogate this witness first? Well, it's highly irregular, but go ahead.
Thank you, George.
Uh,
Don Wilson?
No.
You see?
And may I have the witness back, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. And now, Mr. Hockenfinger, will you tell the court in your own words exactly what you saw last Wednesday?
Well, I live in a house right behind Mr. Benny's, and I happened to be looking out my window, and I saw him in his backyard. And that's when I saw it, and it was terrible, terrible.
Just tell the court exactly what you saw.
Well, at first I thought he was just waving at me, and then I realized he was wringing that poor, innocent rooster's neck. Boy, he was ruthless, I tell you, just ruthless.
Your witness.
He's lying. Perry, I'll tell you, he's lying.
Just watch this, Jack.
Now, sir.
You say you live directly behind Mr. Benny's house.
That's right. His backyard is about 20 yards from my window.
And you were looking out your window.
That's right.
And you say you saw Mr. Benny actually kill this rooster?
Oh, he killed him, all right. He killed him. Oh, I tell you, it was just terrible. I saw it with my own eyes.
Your Honor, here is an almanac. I place this almanac in evidence. Last Wednesday night, there was no moon, no star. It was foggy.
Visibility was zero.
Now, Mr. Hocklefinger, how can you possibly say that you saw the defendant kill that rooster?
It was 2:00 in the afternoon.
Gee, I never thought of that. No further questions.
Barry, they're making a fool out of you. How do you always win your cases?
I don't know.
I watch you on television. You always win. Why?
Maybe my writers are better than yours.
Why? If it please the court, I should like to call the defendant to the stand.
Well, it's about time.
Jack, don't be nervous. Remember, I'm your lawyer.
Don't remind me.
Would you like my autograph?
No.
Now, Mr. Benny, as you know...
Wait till I get up here.
You are accused of willful, premeditated murder of your rooster.
I didn't do it, I tell you.
Oh, you didn't, eh? No. I charge that when you found that because of that bird you were going to be sued for thousands of dollars, that all that money was going to slip through your dirty little fingers...
Objection, Your Honor. The prosecutor has no right to use the term dirty little fingers.
All right, he hasn't. These are the same fingers that I play my violin with.
Forget it. Leave dirty little fingers in the record.
And now, Mr. Benny, did you or did you not choke the life out of that poor, defenseless, helpless little fowl?
I did not.
The autopsy shows your fingerprints deeply embedded in the bird.
Objection, Your Honor. This argument is specious. How do we know he was choking it? Maybe he was just trying to squeeze out an egg.
From a rooster?
Objection overruled.
You mean I'm wrong again?
So wrong, you can have your autograph back.
I can't understand it. Whenever I see him on television, he's always right. The other fella's always wrong. Perry Mason is always right.
And now, Mr. Benny, the prosecution is not going to waste time asking you any further questions. The guilt is written on your face. You and you alone committed that murder. Your Honor, the evidence of guilt is so overwhelming in this case that the prosecution rests.
If the defense wishes, he may question the witness and bring out his side of the case.
No questions.
Perry, aren't you going to ask me anything? They're cutting me to ribbons. Why don't you help me?
Because you wouldn't let me wear my Lincoln hat.
I'll cut that out. Look, I paid you in advance. I paid for that lousy almanac. Defend me.
All right. Hi. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, this man's life is at stake. And worse than that, he might get fined, too. I ask you to look at this man. Is that the face of a criminal? The face of a... face of a liar, perhaps. Face of a cheat, perhaps. The face of an egomaniac, perhaps. But a murderer? No. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I tell you, in order to have committed this crime, a man would have to be out of his mind. It would have to be someone who was tortured by overwork, by lack of sleep, by a rooster crowing, night and day, day and night, driving him crazy, hour after hour, minute after minute, just crowing and crowing and crowing, and that's why I did it. The darn thing was driving me out of my mind. Just crowing every minute, every hour, every day, every second. What else could I do, Your Honor? I throw myself on the mercy of the court.
Take him away. Mr. Benny, you are free to go.
Accused, and you got me off.
Yes, Jack. But I'm going to the gas chamber.
No, but remember, it isn't whether you win or lose. It's how you play the game.
We'll be back in just a moment, but first...
Perry, you did it again. You did it again, Perry. Oh, boy. What a dream. Well, good night, folks.
This has been a J&M production, and this is Don Wilson saying good night.